You are listening to the YLM Sermon of the Week podcast with Apostle Mamie S. Tolbert. Be blessed and refreshed by this relevant word from the Lord.
We thank you for the word. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, well, praise the Lord. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. I honor God in this place, and I thank him for who he is. How many know he is God, and beside him there is none other? There's nobody like him. I was sitting there, Pastor Cassandra, and the Lord said to me, he said, you know that there are some that have been talking about Yes Lord Ministries. And I did like this. You know my theme. Let's give them something to talk about. But God said, he said, but I'm breathing a fresh wind. God said, he said, I've breathed a fresh wind upon Yes Lord Ministries and upon the senior pastor. God said, I'm talking in his ear even now. God said, speaking in his ear. God said, I'm about to do a move that's going to amaze and surprise the naysayers and the gossipers that have been talking. God said, they think they know. But God said, they don't have any clue as to what I'm about to do for Yes Lord Ministries and for those connected to Yes Lord Ministries. And the Lord said to me, he said, you get up, you preach what I've given you to preach. God said, but I'm moving behind the scenes. God said, I'm shifting some things. I'm rearranging some things. God said, I'm about to do a new thing. And you shall see it soon, saith the Spirit of the Lord. Come on, somebody need to give God some glory in this place. I know I'm not the only one that he's been talking to. God told me, he said that I gave you that as confirmation for what I've already been speaking to some of the laborers of Yes Lord Ministry. Anybody in here that God been talking to? I know God been talking to you, man of God. I know God been talking to you, woman of God. I know God been talking to you, women of God, because you've been keeping your ears to his mouth. Listen, don't count Sister Brown out. God been talking to her too. He told me that. He told me, make sure you mention, because some folk think just because somebody might not have a certain kind of title, but God says she's connected, and I've been speaking to her ever since I connected her. God said that's why when she left that time, she had to come back. Because I had spoken to her that I connected her for a purpose. Oh, somebody need to give God some glory. Y'all don't need to be counting out, folk. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you're special to God? The clock is ticking. Let me hurry up. I thank God. I honor God and I honor Apostle Willie Talbert. Amen. I honor our senior pastor, Pastor Steve Talbert. Amen. I honor Sister Melissa Talbert, his wife. To all of the pastors, to all of the ministers, to all of the evangelists, to each and every one of you, I salute you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I heard a war cry in the spirit. I heard a war cry in the spirit. Let me do what Sister Brown, I said now, usually I have my robe on and all that. I said, I'm just going to stand there and teach today. Amen. Minister Harley, I said, I'm just going to stand and teach. And so I'll be all right. No changing clothes, no robe, none of that stuff. Forgot my cloths. Amen. So I got tissue up here. You know, I'm just going to stand and teach today. How many know it's whatever God said? Amen. Please get your Bibles. We are in a series. Amen. And a powerful series, I might add. And so today, I'm going to talk to you about defeating the giant of pride. Defeating the giant of pride. Now, I want y'all to brace yourselves. Do y'all trust me? Do y'all trust the God in me? Y'all remember y'all said that. Hallelujah. Because God, how many know he deals with the word mirror first? Amen. Even though he have to sometimes check you and all that stuff, even as you're studying and preparing. But this subject, when I saw it, I said, Lord Jesus, he want me to talk about that, huh? Woo, get your Bibles. Turn to 2 Samuel 21, verses 15 through 22. And I'm reading from the King James Version. And it reads, moreover, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel. And David went down and his servants with him and fought against the Philistines, and David waxed faint. And Ishbibenob, which was of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight, he being girded with a new sword, thought to have slain David. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, secured him. That means he helped him. And smote the Philistine and killed him. Then the men of David swear unto him, saying, thou shalt no more go out with us to battle, that thou quench not the light of Israel. And it came to pass after this that there was again a battle with the Philistines at Gob. Then Sibashai the Hushite slew Saph, these are tongue twisters, which was of the sons of the giant. And there was again a battle in Gob with the Philistines, where Elohim, the son of Jerubim, a Bethlehemite, slew the brother of Goliath the Gittite, the staff of whose spear was like a weaver's beam. And there was yet a battle in Gath. There was a man of great stature that had on every hand 6 fingers and on every foot 6 toes, 24 in number. And he also was born to the giant. And when he defied Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shimea, the brother of David, slew him. These 4 were born to the giant in Gath and fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants. Now I want you to go with me to Job, the 41st chapter. Job 41. Job 41 from the King James Version. We're going to read verses 1 through 10 of the 41st chapter of the book of Job. And it reads, canst thou draw out Leviathan with an hook, or his tongue with a cord which thou lettest down? Canst thou put an hook into his nose, or bore his jaw through with a thorn? Will he make many supplications unto thee? Will he speak soft words unto thee? Will he make a covenant with thee? Wilt thou take him for a servant forever? Wilt thou play with him as with a bird? Or wilt thou bind him for thy maidens? Shall the companions make a banquet of him? Shall they part him among the merchants? Canst thou fill his skin with barbed irons? Or his head with fish spears? Lay thine hand upon him. Remember the battle, do no more. Behold, the hope of him is in vain. Shall not one be cast down even at the sight of him? None is so fierce that there stir him up. Who then is able to stand before? I'm going to skip down to verse 33 and 34 of that same chapter. And it says, upon earth there is none, there is not his like who is made without fear. 34 says this, and this is what I want you to remember. He beholdeth all high things. He is a king over all the children of pride. This is the word of God. God's word is already blessed. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to talk to you from the subject of defeating the giant of pride. I want you to agree with me on several things. First of all, that God himself will be pleased, honored, and glorified as a result of the word that shall come, that you, the people, will be encouraged, reminded, empowered, informed, and edified, and that the devil will be disappointed and horrified. Can you say with me, Lord, as your servant has decreed and declared, be it so in your name. Now come on and bless the Lord. God wants to talk to us. He wants us to grow stronger in him. He wants us to enjoy the blessings that he has in store for us. And you can't do it with the giant of pride on board. Amen. And so as we look at this particular subject, defeating the giant of pride, the first passage that I read for you shows pride manifesting in those verses of scripture. We already know the story. David had gotten old. Y'all have heard this passage preached many times here at Yes Lord Ministries. He had gotten old, and he had gotten to the place to where he could not move around like he used to. He was not as aware and alert as he used to be. He just wasn't as quick on his toes as he used to be. How many remember David had a reputation for being a conqueror of giants, a conqueror of the lion and the bears. Anybody hearing me? And so David had this reputation for being the one who led armies to battle and defeated the enemy. That was his reputation. When he stepped up, God gave it to him. That was his reputation. How many know it's awesome when you've got favor with God? And so God had given David favor all through his life, even since he was a boy. How many can remember some things when you were growing up and you didn't understand? You didn't understand why there were some things that you seemed to be entitled to, or that you seemed to be able to enjoy, or that you seemed to be able to have access to more so than other young people. Anybody in here noticed anything? But you didn't understand it. And a lot of times the reason why we didn't understand it is because we did not know God. Relationship with God is key. And so in this passage of scripture, David went out and he was confronted by the giants. Because giants, now understand this, when people see giants or saw giants in that day, right away they felt defeated because of the size of the giants. Look at your neighbor and say, the size don't always matter. And so as we look here, we see that David went and one of the giants decides he gonna kill David. Now, how many know that would have been a high point if he had killed David because of David's reputation? Because David had already slew some of his family, other giants. And so as we look here, we see that David's, the armor bearers, David's adjutants, David's assistants, we're alert and aware. You know, it's interesting, and I'm not, I don't want to talk negative, but I just as an example, I was sitting there and I was trying to get somebody's attention. and I could only get one person's attention. Now, the person presiding, she noticed, but I didn't need her to break the flow of what she was doing. And I couldn't get anybody else's attention except the one person. And it's interesting because the reason why I mentioned that, that's just an example as to why we ought to be alert and aware at all times. How many know, even if I'm not on duty, I'm alert. I'm watching. Amen? I'm looking just in case. I've been places where I had nothing to do with being there except that I was there as a guest. And I could see the ones in charge or the host trying to get people's attention. And I'm looking, saying, trying to get their attention. And so I sneaked around, and the one whose attention they was trying to get, I said, they're trying to get your attention discreetly so that it wouldn't be noticed. Why? Because we're supposed to be alert and aware at all times. And so these men who were in battle with David were watching, and they saw what was happening. And they realized if they didn't step up, David was going to die. Anybody hearing me? How many know sometimes it's a matter of life or death? And I'm talking about spiritual death. Amen. Amen. We don't want to even think about the natural part too. And so they went and they killed the giant. Abishai, the scripture says, the son of Zeruiah, secured him, which means secured means to help. And so he helped David by killing the giant. What did the men say? They said, "You don't come out with us anymore, with all due respect, King. You don't come out with us anymore, with all due respect. We just want to protect you. We want to make sure that you're good. So you've taught us, you've trained us." Anybody hearing me? "You have poured into us. You've gotten us ready for this time. Let us do what you taught us and what you trained us to do, so that you won't be taken out of here before your time." How many know it makes no sense for us to leave here before our time? Amen. It makes no sense for us to be seduced and to be tricked by the spirit of pride. And why do I say that? Now, here's the thing about pride. David thought he was just doing what he needed to do. But how many know, if you've already done what you're supposed to do by preparing the next generation, anybody hearing me? Why you got to do everything now? Come on here. Sometimes pride shows up. Did y'all trust me? Sometimes pride shows up and we don't even realize it's pride. And that's what the subtlety of that spirit is about. That spirit is subtle. That spirit is cunning. I'm going to get into it. Okay. We're going to move on. I want to jump right into it because I don't have a whole lot of time. I can't give you everything, but I'm going to give you enough for you to go back and study some more. Somebody said, "I need to study." And so David thought that he was simply doing what he needed to do. Here's another evidence of pride in that passage. The giants thought that because they were bigger, the giants thought that they had the advantage because they were bigger, and they felt like because they were bigger, they were better. Anybody hearing me? How many know that's the spirit of pride? When you think you're better, I'm going to get into it. A lot of times, thinking that you're better will cause you to be defeated. In the book of Job, I want to talk about this thing. If you look in Scripture, God deals with the spirit of pride. Proverbs 16 and 18 says this: "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." Anybody hearing me? Do I need to read it again? Proverbs 16 and 18. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Now, that's a passage of scripture that I hear quoted a whole lot. But do we know what that means? Now, somebody might look at me and say, well, aren't we supposed to be proud of our accomplishments? There's some balance that needs to be had there. Let me explain. There are things that we do and that we accomplish, some good stuff. But how many know we can't forget who gave us the grace, who gave us the ability, and who gave us the strength to accomplish whatever we've accomplished? How many know I didn't do it by myself? I was able to do it because of the grace of God. I was able to do it, and unfortunately, all too often, many people think and act as if it wasn't for me. How many know people who act like, if I don't do it, it won't be done right? I'm exposing pride today. That's a spirit of pride that has manifested itself and shown up in that person's life. And here's the thing, they don't even realize it. Because they're thinking, I want to help, and I want to get this done right, and so I know how to do it. But how many know you ain't the only one? Anybody hearing me? It's getting real quiet in here. Some folk must have, you know, it's interesting. Remember I said to you that God checks the word bearer first? And there were many times I was saying, ouch, 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 while I was writing notes and studying. Ouch. Because how many know there are times that pride has shown up and we didn't even realize it was pride? How many know somebody who made some accomplishment, did something good, but they don't want to let people know that it was them who did it? And so they convince somebody else, they manipulate, I mean, they persuade somebody else to tell other folk that they did it so they could be recognized. That's a spirit of pride. What's up? What's wrong? Because many of us are guilty. Do you know how many times I had to say, God, forgive me? This morning, as I'm getting ready, I was still saying, Lord, forgive me. I repent for the spirit of pride, for not recognizing and realizing that that was a spirit of pride. That right there, that part was pride. God, I didn't realize that part was pride. And so as we look here in the book of Job, y'all already know what the book of Job is all about. But look at this passage. This is dealing with something else. The scripture says that, or the commentator says this, the Lord appears to Job in a whirlwind and begins to question him concerning a creature known as Leviathan. For those that have worked or done in deliverance ministry, you know or you remember that there were times that that spirit manifested in somebody you were ministering deliverance to. Oh, somebody getting real quiet in here. You got to keep your ear to, that's why in deliverance ministry, it ain't no joke. Somebody say it ain't no joke. You got to understand you're dealing with, and I've said this many times, everything is not a demon. But the devil will take advantage and use anything he can. But this thing is a demonic thing. Leviathan was a spirit. It was an actual crocodile, piercing serpent, large sea serpent looking thing. Even the book of Revelation talks about it. This thing looked almost, some people called it, it looked almost like a fire-breathing dragon. It was a reptile, a sea monster, a sea serpent. I don't, it's so many different descriptions that you could call it or that you could use to describe it. But the bottom line is that this thing was so fierce. This thing was so powerful until it could affect everything around it. And everybody, I'm talking about the spirit of pride. And in Job 41 and 34, it says, he is called king. Oh, somebody hearing me? Over all the children of pride. So when you think about it, think about this thing as a beast. That's why we don't want pride in our life. Let me tell you why. Because y'all ever heard the saying, you give it an inch, it want to take a mile? If you give it an entrance, somebody hearing me, a little keyhole, it will take over and try to destroy your life and everything around you. Anybody hearing me? I'm talking about defeating the spirit. That's why we've got to defeat the spirit of pride. And so as I look on here, and I got to hurry on, can't give you everything. I got to skip over and see what I can give you and what I can leave out here. Understand, I'm not trying to make anybody afraid, but I am trying to make you aware. Somebody needs to tell God, thank you. I'm not trying to scare anybody, but you do need to be aware so you can stop acting like a patsy. We are God's people. Anybody hearing me? And as God's people, we are supposed to experience the greatness of God. We're supposed to experience the blessings of God. We are supposed to experience the breakthrough of God. Come on here now. God gives us breakthrough. Anybody think you already arrived? That's a spirit of pride. And so realizing and acknowledging the fact that you are not the end all be all. Everything is not supposed to revolve around you. Anybody hearing me? Do anybody know anybody who's always the victim? Everybody always after me. I don't know why the attacks come at me like they do. And the devil standing back laughing because he ain't had to do nothing. You doing it all yourself. Self-sabotage. You the one speaking all of this stuff. Everybody's attacking. To bring attention to you, that's a spirit of pride. Anybody hearing me? You just want somebody to give you attention. You just want somebody to feel sorry for you. You just want, everybody got to pray for you, but are you praying for yourself? I don't mind praying with you, but when you stop praying, I get off. Why is that? Because you've made a decision. When you stop praying, that means I don't want to go any further. And if you don't want to go any further, you ain't wearing me out, because there's somebody that wants to go further. There's somebody want to go all the way with God. You playing games. You faking out. You tripping. And so the Bible talks about this spirit. This thing is a being of awesome power and influence over mankind. The description of this thing must not be understood to focus merely on the monstrous physical appearance, but on the reality that it is a living being possessing strong leadership qualities and powerful influence. Woo, Jesus. Anybody recognize the spirit of pride at all in our world today? Anybody? The spirit of pride strikes fear in men to bring about submission to itself and thus to control them. It is the king of pride. And the thing, the spirit of pride rules the children of pride, who are overwhelming masses of unconverted people. People who will not surrender to God. People who will not submit to God. People who have their own way of doing things. That goes totally contrary to God's way of doing things. God has the better plan, but they know better than God. That's a spirit of pride. Anytime anybody, and God is constantly speaking to you. He's constantly speaking to you. And you're stuck. The reason why you're stuck is because you won't surrender to God. Repent of that spirit of pride and get unstuck. Anybody hearing me? Like their spiritual father, those people are not submissive to God. Their spiritual father is the spirit of pride. Anybody hearing me? Understand where that spirit of pride is most evident in Satan. Remember when he rose up against God? Remember when he was kicked out of heaven? It was because of the spirit of pride. He thought he could rule better than God. He thought he could do things better than God. Anybody recognize that spirit? There are some, they look at us, they look at different ones doing different things. They said, I could have did a better job than that. And sometimes I say, come on, take it then. And they stand back, no. They want to criticize. Anybody with a critical spirit has a spirit of pride on board. They criticize everything that somebody else do. Oh, they don't sound right. Oh, they didn't do that right. Well, won't you step up? If you can't sing, see me first so we can have some lessons. Now listen here. Revelation 13 and 4, you can find them talking about the spirit. But understand this. This spirit, the intent of the spirit is to destroy you and to keep you from being blessed by God. Anybody hearing me? And so I'm getting ready to wrap up and I'm going to tell you some symptoms. And then I'm going to tell you how to defeat this thing. Understand that pride is universal. Oftentimes, we know what the disease is, but we don't recognize the symptoms. Anybody hearing me? And so there's some symptoms. Fear. Pride is at the root of anxiety. When we refuse to only rest in God's sovereign care. Fear reveals our lack of trust and our poisonous self-reliance. We keep saying, and we're being told over and over in scripture, trust God. Trust. Anybody ever been in a difficult situation? You didn't know how it was going to work out. You didn't know what to do or which way to go. And God kept saying, trust me. You go to church and the preacher preaching, trust God. You're talking to somebody who has a relationship with God, trust God. After a while, you get so tired of hearing that same, trust God. Because you in the heat of the battle. Anybody hearing me? You in the heat of the battle, all hell breaking loose. And you keep hearing, trust God. And you saying, but I did trust him. Ain't nothing changing. And they looking at you and they saying, keep trusting him. And you saying, I don't want to hear that. I want you to tell me what's going to be different. Tell me what's going to change. Tell me how much longer I got to deal with this foolishness. You tell me, you give me a guarantee. And they keep saying, trust God. And you get upset with them because they still telling you, trust God, I don't even be bothered with them no more. I don't even want to hear what they got to say no more. Somebody told me the other night, said, I ain't listening to nothing you saying. I said, you don't have to listen. I love you, and I'll keep praying for you, no matter what. Trust God. They said, I don't want to hear nothing you got to say. Anybody hear me? And I'm like, you're in the heat. You might as well listen to me so that it get less hot. You get further away from the flame. Anybody hear me? But not trusting God means you're relying on yourself or somebody else. That's the spirit of pride. How can I trust me more than I trust God? How can I rely on me handling something and fixing it more than I rely on God? Beating somebody up ain't gonna do it. Cussing them out ain't gonna fix it. Anybody hearing it? That will only make your life more miserable. Then you're gonna feel convicted because you know you ain't had no business cussing, or you ain't had no business putting your hands on the person. You're gonna feel convicted because you know God ain't pleased, and you've been trying to please God. And the closer you get to God, the more it looks like the enemy messing with you. He'll send somebody, a coworker. Oh, it gets better. How about a loved one that you live with? Somebody that can find that nerve that nobody else can find. They're not worth separating yourself from God. That's why I say, trust God. One of the second symptoms is entitlement. You feel like you're entitled to something. Entitlement is rooted in a prideful heart. And it stems, so see, here's the thing. The core of the gospel is that we are not entitled to anything except punishment for our sins. But God, in his grace and his mercy, unmerited favor. In other words, I didn't deserve it. Matter of fact, Pastor Cassandra was talking about when she was reflecting over her life, and then she said she pressed pause. Had the nerve to press pause. Had the nerve to press pause. You understand? That's because we know where God has brought us from. And we know we have a right to be grateful to him. I remember when I got saved, I said, I should have done it a long time ago. And I was only a teenager when I got saved. But I should have done it a long time ago. Why? Because he's the best thing that ever happened to me. We deceive ourselves into thinking we're better than we are, so we deserve better than we have. We think we deserve God's mercy. We think we deserve people's praise. We think we deserve love, success, comfort, and all of those different things. We think we deserve it. I didn't say God wouldn't bless you with it, but be grateful. Somebody say grateful. Be grateful to him for blessing you with it. That's why so many women end up with the wrong man. So many men end up with the wrong woman. They're looking for somebody that's going to worship them, that's going to dote on them. And they're wolf in sheep's clothing. They've been sent to deceive you, like the spirit of pride. And you don't even know it's on board. Because you know the disease, but you don't recognize the symptoms. And so here's the thing. We grow bitter, frustrated, disturbed because we believe we're entitled to it. When you gonna license me to preach? When you gonna put me up and elevate me? God is the one that gives elevation. And he's the one that speaks it. Somebody say, wait on God. Let me move on. Ingratitude is another symptom. Our proud hearts say we're good and that we should get what we want. And if we don't, we're justified by not being grateful, by being having ingratitude. If we're uncomfortable or inconvenienced in any way, we complain. It's our right to complain. How dare they inconvenience me? Here's the thing. Grumbling and complaining. Y'all recognize it in Exodus when God brought the children of Israel out. He brought them out. First thing he did was he brought them out on dry ground, right? This was after all the plagues and stuff. Dry land in the midst of the Red Sea, dry ground. Then he fed them with manna. He didn't let their clothes or their shoes wear out. Y'all read the scripture, right? Go to Exodus and read that. And Deuteronomy, and you'll see. He didn't let their clothes wear out all those years. He didn't let their clothes, what did they do? They grumbled and they complained. Ingratitude, the spirit of pride. Number four, people pleasing. Pride is self-worship and self-preservation at all costs. And people-pleasing is the direct result of pride. Some think people-pleasing is a positive trait because they're so clearly concerned with serving others. Anybody know anybody that kiss butt all the time? Well, I wasn't supposed to say that. Always kissing somebody's butt. Brown nosing. I mean, just user-friendly all the time. Just blending in with the crowd. God didn't create you to blend in with the crowd. You ain't supposed to be kissing nobody's behind. But I want to sit at the table. God will give you your own table. There's some tables you don't need to sit at. Anybody hearing me? Number five, prayerlessness. The spirit of pride will make you tired of praying. You won't be on the 5:30 a.m. call on Wednesdays because you got to get some more sleep. Oh, I couldn't wake up. Every week? Now, every now and then, I can understand that maybe you overslept because you was extremely tired. But every Wednesday, you can't be on the prayer call. And to top it off, how's your own private, personal prayer life? You only pray when something happened. That's a spirit of pride. You're supposed to cultivate your prayer life. Pray in good times. Pray when things are going well. Pray at all times. Give God praise. Come on, give him a thanksgiving prayer. God, I just want to thank you. I didn't come to ask you to work out nothing this time, God. I just want to give you praise because you've been so good to me. I thank you, Father. You're on your knees giving him thanks and giving him praise. Hallelujah. Hypocrisy, number six. When you're proud, you elevate your status, forgetting the mercy God has shown you. You think you're better and holier than everybody else. And you easily find fault with others. Pride produces a hypocritical spirit. How dare you, because you have established a relationship with the Lord, that now you think you're better than everybody else. How dare you? Yes, you are the apple of his eye. Yes, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. But you also ought to have some compassion and some gratefulness for the Lord sparing you, so that you can now be a blessing to someone else and let them see God in your life, that they will be drawn to the Lord and receive and accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Anybody hearing me? Rebellion. I'm going to stop. Rebellion is a symptom. When you're rebellious, you know what the Word of God is saying. You act like you don't know what the Word of God is saying. God talks, he speaks against fornication and adultery, and you in it. Huh? He speaks against lying in scripture, and you lie. He talks about gossiping in the scripture, and you gossip. Anybody here? You backbite. You don't love people. You only love or like ones you want to love and like. Anybody hear me? That's rebellious, arrogance, haughtiness. I'm naming some others and I'm getting ready to wrap up. Self-centeredness, self-righteous, resistant to God's will, condescending, critical attitude toward others, bragging and self-promotion, unable to receive correction. Oops. Nobody can correct you. Listen, I don't care who you are. You can call yourself archbishop. You can call yourself chief apostle. You can call yourself whatever you want to call yourself, senior pastor of pastors. We all need to be corrected at some time in our lives. And we need to receive and accept that correction. Why? Because I can always get better. Anybody hearing me? I'm not where I've plateaued and maxed out. I can always get better. Has God ever checked you and told you you was wrong about something? Through somebody else's lips? And you knew it was God speaking through them. You knew it was God. They weren't being disrespectful. They were speaking because God sent them to speak. Because God told you and you ignored God. Inability to admit wrong or say I'm sorry. You need to own your stuff. Somebody say own your stuff. Make comparisons with others. Shift blame. Make excuses. Keep secrets. Lack transparency. You interrupt and control conversations. Oversensitive. Defensive. Argumentative. Hard spirit. Understand. And when you go to Isaiah 27 and Isaiah 28, you see them talking about the same spirit. This spirit that controlled Israel. This spirit that was an enemy. And then after a while, they actually allowed that thing to come in so that they were now functioning in the spirit of pride. Here's how to defeat it. Repent and surrender to God. Hear God. Own your stuff. Stop thinking you're right all the time. You're not right all the time. Sometimes we're wrong, y'all. And we need to admit when we're wrong. God checked me about that one day. My husband and I were having a discussion about something, and it wasn't one of those intense moments of fellowship. And I said, no, it ain't like that. And the Lord said, you're wrong. And I went, oops. Honey, you know what? You were right. And I apologize. I was wrong. And I apologize. How many know that's a step to breakthrough right there? How many know? I ain't want nothing growing up in me that ain't supposed to be in there. Nothing but the Holy Ghost. I was like, oops. Now, there was a time I would have went right on. But God checked me. And God let me know. Spirit of pride. You honor that man of God privately as well as publicly. Come on here now. Some of us be so upset with our loved ones and the different ones that we have relationship with that we won't admit when we're wrong. We won't allow God into the relationship at all. You know what? If your spouse not saved, that might just get them to surrender to the Lord when they see the change in your life. When you start owning your stuff and admitting when you're wrong. Oh, it got real quiet in here. Where the wives and husbands at? Y'all, where y'all at? Y'all leave me out here by myself. When you're wrong, own your stuff. And my husband knows I'm big on that now, making sure we own our stuff. Especially me. Because I'm responsible for how I respond, not for how he responds. If he's wrong, that's between him and God. But when I'm wrong, that's between me and God. Defeating the giant of pride. Get closer to the Lord. Spend more time in prayer. Spend more time in the Word. God will show you. The more time you spend with Him and the more time you spend in the Word. Somebody say, thank you, Lord, for loving me. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you now. We thank you for this message. God, it was tough, but God, we know that it was tough because you love us. Help us, God, to be accountable, oh God, and to receive and accept correction when we need correction. Help us, Lord, not to be stubborn, not to have a critical spirit. Help us not to focus on self-promotion and elevating ourselves. God, we thank you now for helping us to remember it is because of you that we live, move, and have our very being. Help us to surrender our all unto you, God. Help us to be everything you have called us to be. Help us, God, that we will not allow the spirit of pride to reside in our lives. Help us, Lord, that we will evict them in the name of Jesus. We'll evict pride and everything that comes with it. We thank you now, and we glorify your holy name. We thank you for those that are here, those that are listening online, oh God. Lord, that they too will realize that you are the one that brings this correction because you love us so much. And so, God, we receive and we surrender unto it. We surrender our all, God, and we're grateful unto you because you are our God. And beside you, there is none other. We thank you now for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If there's anyone here who needs to receive and accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we're going to give you an opportunity to come. And if you need a church home, Yes Lord Ministries is a good place where you can realize and see the purpose, plan, and destiny of God fulfilled in your life. As you realize today, we teach the hard stuff. We want to make sure that your life is well-rounded and blessed, and that you experience the joy of the Lord, joy unspeakable, the scripture says, and full of glory. And so if you're here, we're going to give you an opportunity to come at this time. For the benefit of those that are online, we're going to pray this prayer, and we ask that anyone who wants to surrender to the Lord will pray this prayer with us. Lord Jesus, we thank you now. We thank you for your word, and we thank you for loving us. We realize that you died for our sins. Your word says that if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouths that you died for us and that you rose again, that we can be saved. And so we repent of our sins. We thank you for forgiving us. And we thank you. We denounce everything that's not of you, everything that's not like you. All ungodly behavior, we denounce it in your name, Jesus. We receive and accept you as our Lord and our Savior. We thank you for loving us. And today, I am saved. Thank you for helping me to go forward from this day forth, living for you, learning more about you and your word and the purpose that you have for my life. I thank you now in your name, Jesus. Amen. Come on and bless the Lord for those that prayed that prayer with us. We know that that means that there's more souls added to the kingdom. I want you to say with me, I'm determined to make sure that the spirit of pride, the giant of pride, is defeated in my life. God bless you.